for me to better get to know some of them that I didn't know very well. So it's my job to give you the grand overview. So I'm going to try and do that in a very brief amount of time. And then we'll have some other people that'll fill in the blanks. Some of the things we did before we left was, one of the things was packing some of the humanitarian bags, they call them, as you check in at the airport. So we had a great time doing that. We had lots of donations from the church, and we were very thankful for your support. So we were actually able to take over 18 humanitarian bags. And as we arrived at the airport struggling with our bags, the people who were behind us in line weren't too happy. We got up to the counter and she said, well, you know, that'll be $35 a bag extra. So we said, okay, that's fine. And then she says, nah, don't worry about it. So that was 18 bags, $35. That's a lot of extra funds that we were able to take with us to Jamaica. So that was pretty amazing. One of the things that stands out to me for the trip right from the very beginning was watching Betty at the airport. So for those of you who don't know, there was supposed to be 18 of us going on the trip. And, fairly last minute, Betty decided that she probably shouldn't go just due to some issues that she had with health. And she came to the airport with us. And it'll be one of those things that I remember. I don't know if I'm the kind of person that I'll take a visual and it'll teach me a lesson. So when I have the visual of her sitting in the wheelchair at the airport watching us go, it's a picture of accepting God's will, even when it's difficult, and doing it with great joy. So thanks for that, Betty. That was awesome. We arrived in Jamaica, and it was so hot. We got in that airport, and it was like we hit a wall, and I thought, oh, man, how are we going to do this? But we got on the bus, which had air conditioning, and when we arrived at the place where we were staying, they had fans. This was a great gift, fans. So it's not something you expect when you go on a missions trip, but it was a great gift. And they also had a fridge, which was pretty cool too. And I would notice some of the teens sticking their head in the fridge on the really hot days. So that was great. We spent some good time getting to know the church. The first Sunday that we were there, there was always that tentative, we're going to sit in this row, you're going to sit in that row, we're going to try and sit beside you, but we don't really know each other. By the next Sunday, it wasn't tentative, it was more like tears, because we knew it was our last Sunday, and we had had some opportunity to really develop some amazing relationships. Another part of our ministry was VBS. So I think all in all, we maybe had 65 kids come through the VBS, about average of about 50 a day. Kids that were full of energy and joy and love, and it was just pretty awesome. So I'm sure some of the team will tell you about that. And another part of the program was youth. So we would go at about 9 in the morning. We'd do our VBS from 9 till noon, and then we would go home and have some really great lunch. We had some amazing people that were our hosts, and they made us a really great lunch. And then we would go back in the evening, and we would run a youth program. When we were planning for this, we were told we might have 10 youth, so we thought that was good. We kind of came up with an idea and a program. First night, we had 20 or 22 youth, I think, and by the Friday, we had 50 youth, over 50 youth. It was pretty amazing. It was pretty awesome. But I think the rest of the team might agree with me that when we arrived on that first Monday and we looked at the youth, we were pretty intimidated. These were not like 14-year-olds. Youth kind of in Jamaica goes up to like 25. And most of them were in their 20s, and most of them were pretty tough. So all of our get-to-know-you games, out the window. You know, it was more like, okay, let's play some hardcore soccer and kick in the shins and just play hard and pray hard, because we felt fairly overwhelmed and intimidated when we arrived. But by about Wednesday, we had started to develop friendships, and by Friday, we just felt like long-term friends. It was pretty awesome to see how God worked and moved in such a short time. That was pretty neat. We saw 8 people receive Christ when we were in Jamaica, and I'm sure you'll hear a bit more about some of those stories. We had an awesome time of fellowship with a sister church that we've had a relationship with for quite some time. And they were very thankful for this church and the support that they received from this church and the encouragement they received from members of this church. Pastor Kingsley and his wife Simone, they're having a tough go right now. They're having a hard time. And there's a lot of health issues, and they just keep soldiering on. And they're an amazing couple. And to be able to send a team over there to support them, it is truly a huge encouragement. Don't ever think that it's not. When you're sending over there, sometimes they say send only money. Money is great too, but they also receive that encouragement. And then for me personally, just one last note. Some people have said, oh, you've had a busy summer, you know, it must have been difficult to do that. But it was not at all. It was a gift. It was a great gift for me to be able to go. It reminds me of the verse in James that says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. And this was a real gift for me, no matter how busy. It was awesome. So thank you very much. And I think Regan and Jessica are next.
Hello, everyone. I'm Regan, and this is Jessica, and I'm going to share with you first one experience that I was fortunate enough that God was allowed me to be part of during the missions trip. And as Angela said, every night we were there, we had a youth ministry, and like she said, these guys were way more manly than me, every single one of them, so it was intimidating. And so the first night started, and you start with soccer and getting to know them. And I noticed there was one young man kind of off to the side sitting on his bicycle, and he kind of, you could tell he was deciding whether he was going to stay or not. So I decided to go over, and I learned his name was Dwayne. He explained to me what he does is he hustles. He's 23 years old, and he goes into the city, and he looks for an hour or two of work here and there, and he gets a little bit of work, and they call that hustling. So I asked him to show me some tricks on his bike just to get to know him, basically, and he got excited by that. And then he said, okay, I got to go. I'm not staying. I got to work in the morning. So I said, well, let's have a bit of a talk. I said, I asked him what he thought about us and Christians and why we're here. And I asked him if he'd ever considered following Christ, being a Christian. He said that wasn't for him. He said he'll do that maybe when he's old, but certainly not now, he said. And so at this point, two of his friends have come now, and I'm feeling obviously a bit overwhelmed talking to three people too. And his friends explained, no, he can't be a Christian. He's got way too many sins, they kept saying. And so I prayed in that moment. I said, God, give me the words to say. And I explained to him that what true forgiveness was, and coming to the cross isn't about cleaning up your life. It's about the forgiveness that God gives. And yes, he calls you to repent from those sins. And I said, I'm not going to ask you what those sins are, but nothing you've done is too much for the cross to forgive. At that point, a car actually like whips right behind us. We're like kind of standing almost on the road. And they're like, we almost died. And they're joking, right? And I felt like Leo almost. And I decided to use that. I said, like, what do you guys think would have happened to you if you did get hit? And I talked to them a bit about mortality and how that would go. They all rejected the premise. They said that they wouldn't have let it kill them. But then I said, okay, when you stand before God, who what are you going to say if you were to die? And we talked about that. So I convinced them to come in and become part of the night, the first night. And we talked about true purpose, true wealth, true love, true identity. Those were the lessons throughout the week. And some of the young people gave powerful testimonies of what God had done in their life. And I began, after he started coming, and Dwayne would come after work. So he didn't come to the fun part. He'd just come to the lesson. And I could start to tell that God was softening his heart. And he would sit there when all of his buddies would go play afterwards. He'd sit there kind of staring forwards. And I knew that God was softening his heart. So I was praying for him throughout the week. And Thursday, Vic gave his lesson on true life, and a call to salvation was given, which several people accepted. And I looked at Dwayne right afterwards, and I something's changed in Dwayne. So I went right up to him, and he explained to me in an excited but somewhat reserved voice that he had accepted Jesus as his Savior. He had become a Christian. And I said, Dwayne, what does that mean for you now? And he was humbled, and he said, God wants me to repent. And he had repented, and he said, God wants me to change a lot in my life right now. And he said, please pray for me, which I continue to pray for him, because obviously he's made life choices that will make this quite a difficult transformation. And I said, Dwayne, what about your family? You told me before they went to church. And he said, yes, they go to church, but they don't know who Jesus is. And in that, I realized he got it. He understood what true salvation was. It's not about being too many sins or going to church. It's about forgiveness through Christ. And so I was blessed to see that. I was blessed that God allowed me to be a part of a work that I believe he'd been doing in Dwayne for a long time. I think this was just the tail end of it, on a journey that Dwayne's going to continue on. And throughout the week, I was challenged. My takeaway was challenged to see the real world, a world where, although most people see a guy on a bike who does tricks, God and a Christian should see a soul in search of a savior. And that was an incredible blessing that God allowed me to be to see his work in that.
Hello, I'm Jessica, and I'm going to be sharing about how this trip encouraged me in developing a missional mindset. So God started this process in me long before we left for the trip, during our team preparation meetings and also in my own personal preparation. So I was privileged to be tasked with teaching VBS on day four. And the theme on day four was the relationship restored. So that was Gospel Day. And as I sat down weeks before we left to prepare this lesson, I felt this incredible weight as I asked myself, how am I going to help these kids see Jesus? And what can I say to help them understand who he was, who he is, and why he came? And it dawned on me how few times I had asked myself this question before. And I thought, why, when I work with hurting children on a weekly basis, have I never asked myself, how can I show them Jesus? So it was during this preparation that God worked in my heart and challenged me to think with a missional mindset right here where he's placed me. So this week I had the opportunity to pick up one of the foster children I support from camp. He was asked to leave early due to difficult behaviors, and we talked about on the way home where his value comes from and how he's loved. So I kept a journal while we were away, and this is a short excerpt of an entry I wrote during our flight there. So I wrote, "We are 1 hour from landing and I already feel homesick. But more than that, I am excited to spend 10 days committed to sharing Christ's love with this wonderful team that I know he has assembled. Going through the airport went smoothly, even with all of our packed full as humanitarian bags. Before, I may have viewed this as a happy coincidence if I had noticed it all, but I have learned to see God's planning in even these small things. My prayer is that I would be trained this week to see the opportunities to serve that are everywhere, which I so often miss. I don't want to waste my life, and I can't wait to see what the next 10 days will bring." So I have to confess, this trip, going on this trip, did not come easily to me. It was something that I struggled with for several weeks, and God graciously changed my heart from a willingness to be stretched into a joyful desire to serve him in this way. And I believe that the place where God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. So right now, I believe I am to serve right here where God has placed me, in my workplace, in this community. And so much of what we saw in Jamaica exists here as well. We have poverty here, we have homeless here, children that need families, love, and people that have never heard the gospel. So I am thankful to have gone to Jamaica, to be encouraged by this team, and also by the people there, to seek opportunities to serve that are right here that I often miss. So I want to thank each of you that supported us, and I have to tell you that this team, you guys have become like a family, and it was just such a blessing for me to experience what a church family can be when we invest in each other and we take the time to serve the Lord together. So thank you.
Hi, I'm Josh. I'm just going to talk a little bit about what this mission meant for the youth and the VBS kids down there, and what I learned from that. So I just like to start off with, as soon as we got there, we unpacked our bags and we walked into our building, right? And it was like it was a pretty old building. And we had these jugs up top that had trays and they collected water, the rainwater, and we'd shower with that. And I was just thinking, I don't know if I want to be spending a week down here, like, let alone even a day. And I go down, and we go into our room, and the second we open the door, I look at the bedroom floor, and there's a cockroach that comes crawling right across the room. And I'm thinking, man, like, I'm going to be here for a while, right? And so I got 2 hours of sleep that night. It just got me thinking later on about how I see these things, right? How these little things can seem kind of gross and disturbing, right? And I wasn't even there for long. These people, they've lived down there for their whole lives, right? These houses made of cement slabs and rusty tin roofs, right? And look at what we have. It's just, there's such a big difference, right, in poverty. We go to VBS, and after a couple days, there's a girl who walks up to me, and she gives me a candy, right? She says, here, do you want a lick or a bite? And I look at it, and I'm like, nah. All right, I realized later on how that little candy could be all she has for the day, right? Because these people down there, they don't have any money, and they don't have anyone it's hard for a lot of these people, right? And we don't know what it's like. So that just that little thing, it got me thinking, like, how sacrificial these people are and how much they're willing to give up their possessions because they want to make themselves known to us, right? And they want to get to know us. I thought that throwing this whole VBS thing actually could have been a pretty big thing for these people, right? There's this girl, Tiana, and I'm pretty sure she's the one who had a picture on her wall from like 2005 of us going down there, right? Well, I didn't go, but so she's had her picture up there for a long time. She remembers everything, and I'm still getting texts about how she's encouraging me to stay into the Word and not to forget about God and to talk to my friends about God and start living for Him. And I think that's a big encouragement in my life, and I'm pretty sure that we've made a pretty big impact on their lives too. So, yeah.
Hi, for those who don't know me, I'm Nathan Marston. Just like what Josh was saying, cockroaches, like, that big. I found a big bug in my bag when I got home, too, so, you know. But this mission trip to Jamaica this summer, it was a big blessing for me. It strengthened my walk with God and encouraged me to stay on the right path in my life. I enjoyed getting to know Pastor Kinsley and all the people in Jamaica that took care of us. Everyone there was so loving and kind, whether it was cooking meals or just having a big smile on their face when we saw them. The youth and VBS ministries were fun to be a part of and watch. Seeing the kids and teens go from shy and reserved to laughing and having fun was great to see. It was cool to see the kids and teens begin to grow or start their walk with God. Through the week of VBS, the kids warmed up to all of us and started opening up about their relationship with God to us. They learned the gospel through not just the messages, but through games we played and the songs we sang. Here at home, we hear the word preached all the time. But when you see it working through people, it's amazing. When we weren't working with the kids, we spent time painting churches, the church's Sunday school room, and the balcony area. During this trip, I was able to grow closer to everyone on the team, as well as making new friendships as the trip went by. I'm truly happy I was able to go on this missions trip, and I hope we can go back someday soon. Thank you.
Hello. Those of you who don't know me, my name is Matthew, and I also had the honor and privilege of going on the trip in July. So while we were down there, one thing that really stood out to me is how much God worked in the lives of the youth group. We went down there, and on Monday night, I thought there was only 15, but I guess there was 20 of them, and it was a very intimidating group, and none of them really seemed like they wanted to hear God's word taught. It looked like they just wanted to play the sports, and then not much else for the rest of the night. But as the week went on, and especially Wednesday night was the first night, God softened their hearts enough, and we all started talking and having fun with each other through the words, and then a lot of them came and wanted to hear God's word being taught and preached. So on Thursday at VBS, I got pink eye and a black eye while I was down there. So that kind of set me back a bit. I couldn't play the sports with the youth like I was, and I had a bit of a harder time doing games with the VBS because I couldn't touch anything. So on Thursday night of the youth group, I couldn't play the game, so I was just kind of sitting back watching. And I saw how it just opened my eyes how much God had done in the lives of all the youth down there. It went from a group of people that it looked like they didn't care about what was going to be taught in the Word of God. And although I don't know if all of them changed, but a lot of their lives changed, and a lot of them seemed like they actually wanted to hear what God was saying. So that was a huge blessing to see that, although I think I sucked. But just going on this trip was so amazing, and if the opportunity comes again, I will 100%, I will go again on this trip. Thank you.
Love.
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 Love in this world is pretty messed up.
It asks for a lot and it never returns the favor.
Love in my world, well, it brings more trouble than it's worth.
In my world, love has felt like
sabotage.
It flees into the night. It leaves at the first sign of trouble.
It never feels like, well, I love you no matter what.
Because love in my world, it leaves.
And when it leaves, there's only disaster left.
Love promises a lot, but it doesn't deliver much.
It creates hate and leaves scathed.
I've picked up the pieces of my broken heart more times than anyone would care to count.
So I build walls.
Love isn't worth the tears.
The pain, the loneliness.
The surrender and feeling like there's nowhere left to turn.
It's exhausting.
Even when you try with all you have to do love right, love fails.
I guess I have made a mess out of love.
What good is it?
It can't help me.
Why love at all?
Why do I even try to love?
Why sacrifice just to carry the burden?
Why?
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 Why? Why?
Because there is a perfect love.
Perfect love that can end all the disaster.
A perfect love that has the power to heal the brokenhearted.
There is a love that saves those who are dwelling in this messed up world.
God gave us the most flawless picture of love when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, our Savior.
And it's love that takes its time.
It is profound, faithful, and awesome.
It never brags or badmouths.
God's love is like a shield that we know will never leave us.
A love that you can trust.
Hope in.
And you can never, ever exhaust it.
That's His kind of love.
And it never fails.
And while we were keeping records of wrongs and self-seeking and being unkind, Jesus still died for us.
How can I love like that?
How can I love like that?
How can I love like that?
Because I am loved like that.
I can love well, not because of me, but because He loved me first.
Good evening. That skit was one that we did in Jamaica as well. We did a skit most nights at the youth evening, so that's why we decided to do it tonight as well. So my name is Melissa, for those who might know me, not know me. And this is my sister Susie. We both went on the Jamaica trip. I'm going to be touching briefly on crafts because Betty asked me to manage the crafts, so that's my gig. So I think being in charge of organizing the crafts for Jamaica reminded me that every little part of something is important. Vic told us at the beginning of the trip that whatever we were a part of, whether it be crafts or music or sports, that we were to give 110% of ourselves. He said that, you know, it's not just the teachers that are teaching the lesson that need to be well prepared. It's, you know, every part of the morning of VBS that needs to be organized and well thought out, so that kids will enjoy it to the maximum, and they'll come back the next day and they'll bring their friends, and you know, more people will come out and hear the gospel. So that kind of was in the back of my mind as we prepared for crafts. Danny was my, I think, right-hand man when we were doing crafts in Jamaica, and then I had Susie, Sophia, Kim, Emily, Shamala, Jessica, and occasionally Rebecca helping me out. So there was a good group of us. So that was great. They all did a fantastic job and everything went smoothly. One thing that is extremely important, I think particularly in the crafts department maybe, is Max Flex. That was our motto for the whole week. I think Vic and Ange, every night, you know, they're like, Max Flex, Max Flex, you know. Have a plan, but be ready to change it. And, you know, don't be upset when things don't go your way and whatever. So that was important to keep in mind. Usually when I've went on mission trips before, they tell you, so for example, when we went to Haiti, the pastor in Haiti told us, expect about 70 kids. So Nancy and I prepared, I think, crafts for maybe like 100 kids just to be safe, you know. We got 350 kids every day. So that's Max Flex. So, you know, you run out of craft supplies, you start handing out coloring pages, or, you know, you get sticks outside and you just make up crafts on the spot to keep the kids happy and, you know, make yourself not go insane. So that was Max Flex. But in Jamaica, we actually had the opposite. Well, not the opposite, but Pastor Kingsley had said, you know, you'll probably only get about 50 kids. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, okay, he's thinking, you know, 50, we might get 200. So we had prepared enough crafts for, I think, almost 200 kids, and then we ended up getting 50 kids. So we had a lot of crafts, which was great because, you know, if we had extra time, we could give the kids an extra craft, or they could do two crafts, or whatever the case. So it worked out well. So what happened was that after the lesson every day, we would split the kids up into two groups. So the younger group would go outside with Vic and Ange and a few of the boys, and they'd play sports. And then the older group would come with us, and we'd do crafts. So we had about 50 kids per day, more or less. So there was about 25 kids in each group. So I think by the end of the week, we also had a lot of the youth group hanging around. So I think the last day there was maybe like 10 youth in the craft room with us, and these guys are like 18, 19, 20 years old. So I'm like, you know, you want a little foam cross, you know, to make or something? And they're like, no, right? And then slowly towards the end, they're like, well, you know, maybe I'll make one for my younger brother, or, you know, my younger sister or something like that. So they all ended up making crafts, and it was fine. Like, I'm not judging, but it was just, it was funny to see these big guys, like, making these little foam crosses, right? So, but it was great. Overall, I think the thing that I pulled away from the craft time specifically was that it was a really great time to be able to sit down with the kids and have one-on-one conversations. The rest of the day or the rest of the morning, you know, we'd be in the sanctuary and they'd hear the lesson and stuff. And then, you know, you kind of move from one thing to the other. And sports, you know, they're outside running around. I mean, I'm sure lots of people had good conversations at sports, but crafts, you know, all the kids are sitting in one area. They're relatively quiet-ish, focusing on their craft, whatever. And it's just, it was kind of a nice time to be able to sit down and have a conversation one-on-one with a kid, get to know him, get to know his background, his family, his situation in life or whatever. So that was a good time for that. And a lot of us had the chance to do that. I noticed, you know, Emily and Shamila and Kim, they were all, you know, sitting down, engaging with the kids, asking them about their family, asking them if they went to church, you know, things like that. So that was really great to see the gospel being shared there. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. I think crafts, like to me, crafts seemed like an inconsequential part of VBS, to be honest. When Betty asked me to manage crafts, I'm like, sure, like it's going to be easy, right? And I mean, it was relatively easy, but it's not inconsequential. Like I was saying before, like every little part is important, right? When the kids enjoy the craft, they enjoy themselves. They want to come back the next day, and it's not about the craft that we're making. It's about the relationships that we're forming while we're making the crafts with the kids, right? It's about the conversations we're having and things like that. So that was good to see. Just one particular kid that I want to mention briefly is Ray, and I think we all remember Ray. Ray, I would guess to be, I don't know, like 17, 18, 20, 20. I think you'll see a picture of him up on the slideshow, and if I describe him, you'll probably pick him out. He wore a red shirt every day. The 10 days that we were there, he wore the same red shirt. He was mentally challenged, and he couldn't speak. He would kind of babble, and you could kind of pick up here and there what he was saying, but for the most part, he really couldn't speak at all. He had very few teeth. You could tell that he was not from a good family. You know, he didn't have a good family situation. The older boys from youth made fun of him a lot. One time when we were up in the balcony at Kingsley's, I actually seen them throwing rocks and sticks at him on the road, trying to shoo him away. So they weren't really a fan of him at all. But he came to VBS and he loved it. Like, he would come into the craft room with the older group, sit down and do his craft, and his face would be like so proud that he would accomplish something little on the craft, right? And then when the older group was, time was done and they were, you know, supposed to go outside to sports, they'd be like, okay, Ray, like, you need to go outside and go play sports, right? So then they'd walk out the door and he would walk out with them. And then he joined the group of little kids and he'd walk right back in the other door and sit down and do a craft again. So, which was fine, but he loved it. It was great. And he really hung around me for the week. I guess each kid kind of chooses a person or meshes with a person well, and Ray was my person, which was interesting because, yeah, like I said, he had really bad clothes and didn't shower a lot, so really strong body odor. But anyway, it was great. I think we really made an impact on him, and I really hope he did come to church on the Sunday, which he doesn't usually, Kingsley said, so that was great to see. But yeah, that's my little craft part.
Don't know me, my name is Susie. I'm just going to take a few minutes to try and tell you a little bit about my experience with the worship in Jamaica. So for me, coming from this worship team here in Jamaica, or in NFBC, it was a different experience going to Jamaica and seeing how they worship. The first Sunday we were there, I was asked by Vic and Pastor Kingsley to lead worship with the piano. At first, I was so intimidated that I said no, but I kept hearing Vic's motto in the back of my head, max flex, max flex. So during the service, God called me to play, and so I did. Even though I missed chords and I messed up a lot, I had fun, and it kind of set the tone for the rest of the week. When the kids arrived the first day, we were a little nervous about how the kids would receive the VBS songs. Those doubts were quickly dispelled, however, because the kids were so enthusiastic and they loved the songs. This encouraged us who were in music, which was Matt and Emily, Annie, Sophia, and me. It encouraged us a lot to see how they responded to it, and their energy affected us too. We were much more energetic. The song Sin Messed Everything Up was stuck in every team member's mind the entire week, which you can imagine how annoying that gets after a while. Youth worship became a little reserved as we had a pretty tough group, as you already heard. They didn't sing as enthusiastically as the kids, so we were a little bit discouraged the first night, but as the week progressed and more teens came, you could tell there was a change. Towards the end, I even saw a few of the toughest kids singing along, so that was great. It was so amazing to see how God softened their hearts through the music so they could hear the messages that Vic and the other guys taught. One of my personal favorite times of worship during the trip was when a few of us joined worship practice with the team at the church we stayed at. It was Saturday night, one of our last nights there, and a few of us sat in the sanctuary enjoying the music. The worship leader, Kim, encouraged us to join him on stage and sing with him and the team. We sang and danced song after song with them for about an hour and a half. It was pure joy, and it made me realize there are so many kinds of worship. Whether it's singing while standing here or singing while dancing in Jamaica, God's presence can be felt in both ways, and he can be equally glorified in both ways. It was such a joy to experience the oneness we have in Christ, regardless of culture or traditions each country may have. And I'm so excited to see what God has in store for future missions for this church.
Hello, everybody. So for those who have maybe not met me before, I'm Matt, number two that went on this trip. And I have to open up with saying that if you ask anybody in this team who went, I think they would tell you very honestly that for all of us, Jamaica was a time of change in our hearts and maybe even in the way that we live our lives. For me, one of those little more on the surface changes was that's when I stopped shaving. So that's one thing. But seriously, when one thing I found that when you're away from your regular responsibilities and maybe work, school, or whatever you have going on at home, God rids you and your mind of distractions from him. And as a result, we get to see him more clearly in the regular things and hear what he's trying to say to you more attentively. When you don't wake up maybe to music, or you're listening to the radio all the time in the car, maybe you're not on your phone so much and checking what's going on Twitter, maybe anything like that. When that's not accessible to you and you don't have those things in your way, God can communicate to you more clearly through little things. And so that's one thing, that God rids you of distractions when you really want to focus on him. Second, I guess I found that I'll be the first to admit, before we went down and while we were there, I had a certain amount of maybe doubt in our ability to do things. Before we went, I thought that we were a bit of a team of misfits who maybe not be able to get the job done. While we were down there, I think one of an extreme moment of doubt was when we got off the plane, whatever, you walk through the little tunnel, and there's a little crack where there's no more air conditioning. And this hot air blows up through and I'm like, is that outside? And so we go out of the airport eventually with our luggage, and we're sitting there waiting for the pastor to pick us up in the bus. And while we're standing there, it was nighttime, there was no sun, and I think you could just stand there and you would just sweat. You just sweat, just standing there in the dark. And I would say that, I mean, I work outside all the time, in the sun, whatever, even last year. And this was like with the humidity, maybe 50 degrees on some of the days. So it was extremely hot. And we were thinking, we were having moments of doubt, like, are we going to be able to keep up energy and keep up with these kids in conditions like this? Not a problem. I mean, I think we just blazed right through it. And that's all God. I mean, on a regular day, in heat like that, I think most people would be dragging, doing anything. And I think that God renewed everyone on the team every single day that we would have the energy to keep going with this stuff and overcome that. Third, I think something that we can all attest to as well is that God moves powerfully, but in little things. And one thing that I saw while we were down there, a story of a young man who came to VBS and he came to youth. And every single day he came to me, and we had this little bicycle pump that we'd used to rig up something for the drama. And he asked me every day, can I have this bicycle pump? And we weren't really supposed to give out things to people outside of the pastor, because it can be dangerous for the kids if they have something new, whatever, that we gave them. And so I was super skeptical. I talked to leaders about it, this and that. And by the end of the week, we decided that if he can hide it somewhere in his bag or whatever, he could take it home. And I didn't really think much of it once we had left. But on the Saturday, we were returning to the church, and we were driving. I was probably not paying attention to what everyone was talking about in the van, just looking out the window, thinking about the week. And we passed by, and I see this young man at the end of his driveway with his whole family. They're standing around this bike, and they're pumping up the bike tires. And I'm thinking, that's the pump that we gave him, that pump. Here, we can go to the dollar store and we'll get whatever pump for a couple bucks. But to them, he couldn't use this bike for maybe years because they don't have those kind of resources. So God can move powerfully through little things like a plastic bicycle pump. And I think one of the biggest things for me, and Jessica and Regan touched on this, was that God wants our lives, but where we're at. We don't need to be in Jamaica full-time doing missions. We don't need to be overseas. Some of us do. Some of us are called there, and some of us aren't called there. And I think it's very well summed up with something like this, where you can go around the world, but missions is still across your street. Your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, God's put you in a place. Maybe you think it's an insignificant place. Maybe you fix people's cars or you do their taxes. But those people that you see on a regular basis, they're lost people. And if they don't know Christ, then they are going to be judged eventually for their sinful lives. And we need to share the good news of Christ with those people, even here, where we're at in our daily things. And I think that having that missional mindset, as we called it on the team, was one of the biggest things that God wants your whole life. He wants to be in every single part of it. And I think I found a verse that spoke to me about this. It was 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstance, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And the part that speaks out in that is pray without ceasing. If we're to be praying without ceasing, then we should be praying all the time, while we're driving maybe, while we're reading, while we're cooking, or anything. It seems kind of strange. But God wants us to be in a constant open communication with Him, that we might not be cut off from Him after we put Him in our little time of devotions in 10 minutes after we get up in the morning. But He wants our whole lives. And we try and fit God into these little convenient shelves in our life where we can even put in maybe an hour of study time. And studying His word is great, but if you don't take it out, then we're just like the man who looks at his reflection in James, and then he walks away and forgets what he looks like. There's no point. So I would say that that was the single biggest thing that the Lord taught me, is that He wants our whole lives, not that we should ignore Him in our everyday activities, but that we should be Christians, Christ followers, that every single day we should wake up and we should thank the Lord, and we should thank Him all day long, and we should ask Him for His guidance and for His wisdom, and keep Him in every aspect of every corner of our life. So thanks for listening, and we've been, all of us were very blessed by the ability to go down. Thanks so much for your support.
Good evening, I'm Kim McLean. Again, I was also so blessed to be able to go on this trip. The Lord had been calling me through many different avenues before the trip was even announced. I was helping out with the youth group, and almost every message that was throughout the year was talking about serving God and being willing to do His work. And I was just broken so many times. I would cry when I hear the message, like, God, I'm not doing anything for You. What am I doing with my life? So it was amazing that God opened every single door for me to be able to go. And throughout the trip, I saw God work in so many amazing ways. I don't have time to talk about them all right now. I wish I could. But one thing that He really impressed upon me while I was there was that He does the work when we give Him the time, when we give our lives, and when we say, God, use me, He will work. So I wasn't really feeling like I was being effective there. I was doing the PowerPoints and the sound for the worship and whatnot, and I was doing crafts, and I was kind of discouraged, like, I don't really feel like I'm involved as much as I should be. But then one day, this little girl, she was there the first day on Thursday, and I can't recall anything that I did or said that was anything spectacular, but I met her Thursday. Her name was Shanike, and I said, oh, that's a lovely name, Shanike, nice to meet you. Friday, I get off the bus, and she comes running up to me, gives me a big hug. I made you a gift, Kim. I made you a gift. You made me a gift? What? And she gave me this little bag, and it had a letter in it. And I'm going to read it for you. It says, she put stickers on it that were from the craft that she made. The day before, she took them off to put them on my letter. It says, the star from the sky, and she puts a little star on the top. Dear Kim, I'm writing you this letter to tell you I love you. And she drew a cross, and she has her and I in the cross. It says, God loves you and me too. And she drew a picture of the bus and the team. And the more I think of it, she put everything she had in it. The tape was from her craft. And she also gave me a candy with it that was what we had given her. And then on the Sunday, she came to the church service and she came and sat beside me and she wrote me another letter. And that one said, "Dear Kim, I'm writing you this letter to tell you that I need a pet and that I love you. Your friend forever, Shanna K. Davidson." And again, she gave me her candy. And later on during the service, she looked at me and she said, "I'm hungry. I didn't eat breakfast this morning." But she still gave me her candy to show me that she loved me. This little girl is 10 years old, showing me such a selfless love. Meanwhile, I ate a big breakfast that morning. And God just reminded me how much I have here and how much I need to be more selfless like this little girl. So again, thank you for all your support and for reaching out to us and to them through us. Thank you.
So we're going to be singing this song called Glorify Thy Name. It's a familiar song. We sang it here before. Us as girls, it was our job to find songs to sing for the youth and sing them for them. And this is one of them. And we kind of whipped it up on the way to airport. We just sang a whole bunch of songs that were like, these are options. This is one of our favorites. And I think it brought us closer during the trip. Whenever we felt a little bit down, we would sing it all the time. So we're just going to sing it for you. It's going to be a cappella, so I'm just going to grab the first starting note.
Jesus, we love you. We worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Jesus, we
sisters and guests, welcome. What do I say? What can I say? That's why we do missions, because missions is the missional mindset. Jesus was all about missions. He was on a mission, and he's given us a mission, and our mission is to love them love the lost, love the sinner, love those who are hurting, love, care for the dying, rescue the perishing. We have a message of love and forgiveness, and that brings great joy. And so the short-term mission, I think Matt said it, you take someone away so they're more sensitive to hearing the leading of the Holy Spirit and God in their life. And he shows what he can do with you in just the little things. And then he changes you. And when you come back, you behave different because you know your God is bigger than when you first left. I talked to Pastor Kingsley before we left, and he pulled me aside, and I thought something was really wrong. And they are going through a lot of difficult things, so I just thought it was something else. And he just said to me, he said, "You know, Vic, you could have sent me the money." And I thought, this is going weird. And he said, "But I would never have taken it. What your group did here amongst my youth, amongst my flock, is priceless. It's changed people. It's changed me." He says, "Go back to your congregation and tell them to pray for my people. Tell them to pray for my youth group that they would love Jesus more and more." So, I don't know. Missions is a twofold thing. You affect the lives of the people you go to see, but I think a greater change is in the heart of the people. Look at the youth. That's the youth and college career age of this church. And Angie and I are just, we weren't even supposed to go on this trip. But what a blessing it's been. I just want to read some scripture before we end. We're going to end with two songs. And one of the songs, I don't know, Kim, is it the first song or the second song, is kind of our theme song for our group. Okay, song number two. I want you to listen to song number two as you watch the pictures of your awesome bunch of kids. And I want you to think of where you are at as these words in the music are playing, because you're never too old to go on a missions trip. You're never too old. But I want to read Matthew 9:35, and I want you to listen to Jesus' words. It starts like this. It says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Jesus was missionally minded, and he was wanting to make disciples that saw the same vision he had. The vision was this: the people outside of Christ are dying. The harvest is so huge, it seems like it's impossible to do. And he asks us to pray that laborers would go into the harvest. Not people that would walk amongst and not do any of the work, but people that labor and work. He says they're like sheep without a shepherd. They are harassed, helpless. But when Jesus walked through, what does it say in the scripture here? It says that he preached the gospel. He proclaimed the gospel, the good news, that they might be free from their sins. They might be saved from their sins. They might have eternal life. But his very own words are what I want you to listen before we look at these videos, pictures of our team and the kids that were there. He says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Jamaica, Newcastle, Curtis, Bowmanville, Toronto, anywhere. So you can play these. You got, Nevin, you got these set up. Listen to the second song and see how it affects you. Because everyone in this room who calls himself a Christian, if we went out and we told one person a week, every week for the next year, the gospel, you would see that God is huge. He is the Lord of the harvest. Go ahead. I'll tell you a quick story while we're doing that. So we were going to paint. Our team went down, and years ago they fixed the Sunday school. It's a beautiful porch overlooking the jungle and the mountains. It's beautiful, but it wasn't painted. And so I didn't want them sitting around too much and getting in trouble, so I said, Pastor Kingsley, what can we do for you, like a labor job for the next two afternoons? And he says, I don't know. And I looked at it, and I said, what about if we painted that? And he goes, yeah. You could do that. And I said, okay. Set me up with a guy to take me into town with him. I'll pay for the paint, and we'll get it done. So we went into Montego Bay, and as we kept going into Montego Bay, it started getting pretty scary for me. My wife's in the back. I thought, this is not a good idea. Thanks, Nevin. It's like it's kind of a song with this. And it started getting shadier, and off to this side I saw a drug dealer, and off to this side it was getting really, this is the Montego Bay that you don't go to. Leave it all behind. Part two to continue.
Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. I have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, you just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high.
Max Flex. So when we're going into Montego Bay, it's getting worse and worse, and I was actually fearing that it's not a good place to bring my wife. And the guy turns to me, he's a right-hand helper at the church, and he says, you know what, man? He says, they tell me not to come into this area because it's shady and dangerous. And I'm looking at him, and he goes, but no man's going to tell me where I can go in my Jamaica. And so I started praying. She's in the back. She didn't hear. And then there's this fella, buck naked, laying on the street in a fetal position. His eyes were completely rolled back in his head, and he's barking like a dog. And it started getting pretty serious. And then we get into this paint shop, and my back's to the wall. I'm looking. I got my wife. And it's a legit paint shop, and we're ordering paint. But we had to pick a paint color. And the paint color is very important in Jamaica, apparently. So we're picking these colors, and we had to go with certain paint for the cement and this and that, so it narrowed down to two colors of paint, and I said, well, those are the two colors. And the fellow says, you like those? I said, yeah, those are the colors. They've got to be the colors. That's what we can get. That's what we can afford, and we got all these paint cans. And he goes, well, let me call the pastor, because there's another pastor. He's an elder pastor there. Let him come down. He just lives around the corner. Make sure he approves. And I said, okay, so we got the swatch. A light green and a dark green, right? The pastor pulls up, and he walks in, and he's about 75 years old, and he's got a suit on, and he's got a shirt collar, a nice shirt. He has the suit, and I took the paint chips, and the one color was his shirt, and the one color was his pants. And we all had a good laugh and said, that's it. And you'll see on some of these pictures, hopefully, that, okay, thumbs up, you'll see the green porch that we painted. And here's the story. This is part of the story that got me. As we were painting, the right-hand man who helped me get the paint and that, we were painting, he stopped, and he started to do this with his eyes. And I knew he was being emotional. I said, what's up? And he goes, nothing, man, no. I said, no, something's up. And he goes, we have waited and prayed for 2.5 years to get the money to paint this place. And I just dropped $300 like it was nothing. So investing in people and in their place, these are our brothers we're going to be with forever. So, all right.
Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. I have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, you just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the way. Come as you are, when your last prayer is spoken, just rest in my arms a while. You'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. It's all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. We'll try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind. You come to the well, yeah. Leave it all behind. The world will try. That you're full of love beyond measure, your joy's gonna flow like a stream in the desert. Soon all the world will see living water is found in me, 'cause you come to the well. Yeah. It's all who thirst will thirst no more. It's all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind.
Your pursuit of perfection.
Leave it all behind.
Your fear of rejection.
Leave it all behind.
Your temporary pleasure.
Leave it all behind. Long to be a hero, with a sword raised high, running to the battle. I was gonna take giants down, be a man you would write about. Deep in my chest is the heart of a warrior. So why am I still standing here? Why am I still holding back? Afraid what is my cost to follow you? I'd walk by faith if I could get these feet to move. But I don't wanna live that way. I don't wanna look back someday on a life that never stepped across the line. So why am I still standing here? Tired of standing here. What if I gave everything to you? What if I gave everything? What if I stopped holding back from you? Sorry, now I'm stepping out onto deeper water. What if I stop home? nothing. Say goodbye to standing here. So again, we want to thank you for your support, your prayer support, financial support. Are you tired of playing around with the gospel? See, missions does that, changes you. I hope that you are touched tonight, and I just pray that God would move in your heart. I know he spoke to some of you, at least. So I'm going to close in prayer. Again, we thank you very much. Keep praying for the youth, that they'd stand and they would continue to do what they're doing. Pardon me? Right, sorry. Afterwards, there is a bit of a fellowship, some snacks and some goodies next door. Stay and come and ask them, talk to them, see how it's affected them. You're welcome to stay. Thank you. So we'll pray. Well, Lord, I just want to thank you for the reminder of what you did over there through this group and in this group. I thank you, Lord, for each one of them. I thank you for everyone in this room. I pray, Lord, that you would get all the glory. I pray, Lord, that you would move in the hearts of everyone in this room, meet them wherever their needs are. I pray for people in this room who have not yet trusted in you as their Savior, that they would just submit, that they would just, they know. I pray, Holy Spirit, you just convince them, show them how much you love them, what you did for them. Dying on that cross, Lord, it was the best thing that I ever discovered personally. I pray, Lord, that you would do a great work here tonight in the hearts of everyone who came. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We don't even deserve to know you, Lord, but you love us and you opened up our eyes. So again, just thank you for this trip. We do pray for our brothers and sisters and those kids who made decisions to follow you in Jamaica. I pray, Lord, you would continue that work in them. Strengthen Pastor Kingsley and his family, Lord, and all of the ailments and things they're dealing with, Lord. And help us to keep them in our prayers, Lord. And we will give you the praise and the glory for it. Amen.